Blog Talk Radio.
Freethinkers on Blog Talk Radio and Free Thought Radio. Question, do you all hear an echo? Raina, Williams?
I don't. No, it sounds clear here.
Okay,
but I'm on
very
the phone,
good.
So I don't know.
Okay, excellent. Well, again, welcome everybody to Black Freethinkers Radio on Blog Talk Radio and Free Thought Radio. And today, we will be discussing conspiracy theories, in particular, the New World Order and the Illuminati. But before we go into that, I just want to let you guys know that we are here to challenge you to think and live for yourself, not convert you. And I want to welcome and thank everybody that's a part of the Black Freethinkers family, everyone who supported us over the past year and change. And just to let you guys know how much we really do appreciate you, we thank everyone that's in the chat room, everyone that's listening live, everyone that's going to listen to the archives. We appreciate you, each and every last one of you. And you can reach out at any given moment. Our information is on the homepage. There are a couple of other shows. We have Mario Nakomi, which is a biweekly show. We have Raina with her Reason, Science, and Skepticism show, which is every other week. And you can
RSSB.
Get all of that. Yes, RSSB. And all of that information, you know, you can look at the archives, listen to the archives. All of that information is there. We're available on iTunes as well as Podbean, and even with Blog Talk Radio archives, you can listen to it and download it there as well. And today we have a guest host, William, also known as Father Teresa. Welcome, William.
Hey, how you doing there?
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, ready to go in on this subject, interact with a few callers here. Yeah, when we first got into it, I wanted to play like devil's advocate and say like, well, I could agree with it because of this, but you start going through all these essays on it and all this back history, and it's like going through divorce papers. You can't figure this stuff out. I don't see how people get caught up in these conspiracy theories.
this fantastic. And we have Alfred here. Alfred is another member of the Black Freethinkers family. He has a show on Blog TV, Drag Nuts. And we're expanding, we're getting bigger. And, you know, like William said, you know, you get to reading all of this information and putting it all together or trying to put it all together. And sometimes it just makes your head spin. I know it was a couple of times this week I just had to take a little nap behind it because it's so much information. And we're only talking about NWO and the Illuminati today. You know, we're not talking about 9-1-1. We're not talking about JFK. We're not talking about Kool-Aid being designed to sterilize, you know, our neighborhood. We're not talking about any of that. We're just talking about NWO. Those other topics, eventually, we will get to them because they definitely need to be discussed. Another topic is the correlation between Martin Luther King and Obama and the neutralization of those two gentlemen as far as trying to neutralize their messages. So just some really, really interesting information that's out there. You know, after a while, you're not quite sure what to believe or what to think. And, again, we're going to stick with the facts and the facts as we know them. And it should be interesting. But anyway, our call-in number is 310-982-4273. Again, 310-982-4273. We're not taking calls right now. Even though we have Alfred on the line, Alfred is with us. Alfred is part of the family. He's part of the panel. And so is Raina. She's here today as well. And, yeah, you can also Skype into the show. So we're going to go ahead, and we are going to define some terminology first so that we can kind of set some ground rules, kind of help some people out. I'm going to define conspiracy theory and allow, you know, the members of the panel here to define it if they so choose to do so. But just the plain vanilla definition of conspiracy theory is a belief that some covert but influential organization is responsible for an unexplained event. So, again, it's a theory that explains an event as being the result of a plot or a covert group or organization. Anyone else want to put some input into conspiracy theory definition?
I mean, that's a pretty succinct definition.
Okay. Yeah, I would go directly with that one.
Excellent, excellent. And the Illuminati, well, no, let's come back to them. Let's go to New World Order. Because the New World Order was the old school one. I remember hearing about this when I was a little girl and a young lady. And, you know, basically the definition for that is the post-Cold War organization of power in which nations tend to cooperate rather than foster conflict. So that's one of the definitions that I found on the internet. And again, when I was a little bit younger, there were books that I read and that talked extensively about the New World Order. They had not gone in depth about the Illuminati, but, you know, that seems to be the it thing now. But another definition for the New World Order is a political situation in which the countries of the world are no longer divided because of their support for either the United States or the Soviet Union and instead work together to solve international problems. So, any input from you guys on the definition of that?
The second definition particularly seems to fit with what George Bush was talking about in the early 90s, you know. The first George Bush, you know, and you know, it since has sort of gotten twisted into like this whole one world government idea, you know.
Mhm. Mhm.
Yeah, I think that's what I saw you. That's one of the ones you posted in Facebook there.
Yes.
I think I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. Like And if I were to play devil's advocate, I would see that like with a lot of the stuff the Republican Party's trying to do. It's like they're setting up people like ants to just walk in a straight line and build the hill and keep breeding.
Right. Exactly. It's just interesting. It's it's a lot. It's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of misinformation out there. And I personally would tell people definitely do some research before you start sharing all of this information with people. You know, from my observation, with just people that I know, they get on these bandwagons, and there's no stopping them. There is no stopping them. They know this information in and out. It's like the Illuminati to me and some of the theories behind it, and I'm saying all of them because, anyway, some of the theories behind them, you know, to me, I equivocate it with religion. And, you know, with some of the people that I know, they left religion, but they've embraced conspiracy theories. So it kind of makes me wonder, you know, for some people, is that the next step? You know, they leave religion and they
like,
conspiracy theories. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, it's like, it's just like they've replaced, you know, the idea of Satan and maybe even the idea of God in a way with, you know, this idea that there's, you know, a shadow government that's out to get them, you know. It's like I said on the show yesterday, you know, it's easier for people to kind of be the star of their own movie where they're the protagonist and there's a clear enemy of some kind,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, like how you said with that shadow government, that's like that omnipresent God that they left if they leave religion, like someone still always watching me.
Right.
Still marking my every move.
Right, and what I was saying was like with that, like, you know, it's easier to believe that than it is to, you know, to actually understand that, you know, there are forces, there are different forces and different dynamics that are at work, and sometimes things are not the result of intention, but you know they just come about through I don't mean to say invisible forces like, you know, like it's a god or whatever, but I mean invisible forces in terms of like the dynamics of a group or of an organization or of different things colliding, you know, an intersection, so to speak, you know, of different things going on, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. It's interesting, but yeah, you know, I read some articles about how there are some narcissistic traits as far as, you know, some of the people that believe in conspiracy theories, and I don't necessarily fully 100% agree with that, but again, it's just interesting, you know, when you get out here and you start reading these different articles and reading the evidence that people present to you, you know, as far as, you know, what these different groups are, you know, it makes your head spin. It's like, this is just way too much, especially some of the paranoia. And some of this does induce paranoia, but before we go on, let's go ahead and define Illuminati so that people will understand the definition of that. So, basically, the plain vanilla definition of this is persons possessing or claiming to possess superior enlightenment or a name given to a different religious society or sect because of their claim to superior enlightenment. And for kicks and giggles, I'm going to go over here to Urban Dictionary and give you the definition from Urban Dictionary. And because it's two very different definitions, yet there are commonalities in it. But from Urban Dictionary, the definition, or one of the definitions, is the Illuminati is a secret organization of the most powerful and influential elite in the world. They go back for centuries and maintain the same bloodlines. They set up a Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, and the Trilateral Commission. Those three groups all meet to plan the fate of the world. They consist of international bankers, top government officials, leaders in the energy cartel, and media monopoly owners, and have control over the UN and UNESCO. Their subdivisions reach into everyone's daily life without most, sheeple, even being aware of it. They also have ties with Freemasons, Skull and Bones, and the Knights Templar. Their ultimate goal is for one world government, which they will control. also a one-world currency, and they want control and ownership of all land, property, resources, and people. Also, they manipulate political parties in the legal and illegal drug trade and federal agencies related to all matters listed above. And again, I was reading a definition from Urban Dictionary. That's not necessarily my definition, but I wanted to make sure I cleared that up. Go ahead, Raina.
Well, there's a lot of different, I was going to say, there's a lot of different parties, so you're not going to necessarily get a consensus 100% on what the definition is and who the actors are. It really just depends on who you're talking to. But in terms of the sheeple thing, there goes your narcissism. You know what I mean? How you were just, there goes your narcissism. You know, I have all knowledge, and these people over here are morons.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, that arrogance is present in the first definition. How they have information that others don't have. They're the enlightenment or knowledge. Like, that sounds like just enthusiasts. Like, these guys are movie buffs, but they want to be movie buffs of the planet.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a 10-year-old boy's dream more than a grown man thinking.
Yes, definitely. It's just interesting, and that's why I wanted to make sure that people understood that definition, I was reading it. Because, you know, again, with the word sheeple, you know, we're not trying to offend anyone. And for those of you that do believe that these conspiracy theories to be true, you know, we're not mocking you, we're not ridiculing you. I want to make sure that, you know, I make that quite clear. We're just trying to glean a better understanding and, you know, bring a different type of perception and purview to this particular subject matter, if you will. So, again, you know, we invite you guys to call in when we open up the telephone lines, and I will give you the telephone number again, which is 310-982-4273. Again, 310-982-4273. And the interesting thing is just in general with some of these conspiracy theories over the years, some have been totally debunked, and there were a couple that were considered, you know, conspiracy theories that were proven, but they weren't necessarily conspiracy theories. They were criminal in nature. You know, what was happening there was, you know, with the Iran-Contra. You know, it was a criminal conspiracy. It wasn't a conspiracy theory. It was a criminal conspiracy. Those are two separate.
But also, one of the things that differentiates that situation from some of these others, like we're talking about the NWO and Illuminati, for example, is evidence.
Yes.
Is there's absolute evidence that Iran-Contra occurred. There's not sufficient evidence to say that there's a shadow government that wants to make us all, you know, worker bees and surf. You know?
Mhm. Exactly. And so, you know, it's just interesting, you know, when you start looking back into all of this. And wow. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about the Illuminati, because, you know, basically it was a secret society that established itself in Bavaria. It was started there in the late 18th century. And from what I've read from different websites, you know, basically they had a political agenda that included republicanism and abolition of monarchy, which means they tried to institute by means of subterfuge, secrecy, and conspiracy, including the infiltration of other societies. And again, they fancied themselves to be enlightened, but they had little success and were destroyed within 15 years of their origin. So interesting. So, if they had little success, how are they still in existence now?
Well, the thing is that some of the former members had gotten absorbed into other groups. But according to these other people, I and it's interesting to me because these men obviously seem to be, you know, not in favor of these huge powerful monarchs. You know, they didn't like it. So I don't really see how, you know, people think that this is the organization that would have given birth to, you know, to a fascist leaning organization trying to take over the entire world. You know, I don't
exactly.
see how that, how those things come together.
Exactly. Exactly. And we have William and Mario and Alfred on the line. Any of you guys have any input?
Well,
go ahead. Oh, okay. Well, I was reading, and excuse me, I'm in the car headed to Atlanta. But there were some things I had read about the Illuminati. One of the things I read was, actually was a Cracked.com article, and it was talking about how some woman who was anti-Semitic rekindled the whole Illuminati mythos and whatnot. And tried to attach it to some type of Jewish thing or whatnot, and that's how it relaunched in the modern age and whatnot. I don't know, but I don't know exactly all about that exactly. But you know, I always find it funny about the idea of a super powerful organization that is powerful enough to kill random black celebrities and influence major governmental policies, but cannot prevent you from knowing this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, it is.
Right.
Randy is on YouTube right now making a video telling you about who they done killed and what they're doing. They're not killing that guy, though. They killed Whitney
okay.
Houston.
No, and it's not just that, but, like, if you go on YouTube, you can find videos of, like, ex-Illuminati members. It's like,
yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Like, how are you just ex-Illuminati? Like, even for gangs, like, you can't just leave a gang. You have to, like... disappear. You know?
Yeah, you have to show up with your face blurred up. Yeah, I'm just going to go on and say I'm an ex-Illuminati now. Now I'm a black freethinker.
You were marked for death.
Oh, that is too funny. But, yeah, you know, you have, you know, all of these, you know, people out here claiming to have this knowledge and to know what's happening, what the real deal is, and so I guess my question is, if they were really trying to be secretive and covert in their actions, why is it that the average Joe on the street knows about it? How
exactly.
does that work?
Yeah.
Did they hack into the
right.
email system? Did somebody send them a letter by mistake? You know, because, you know, opening up somebody else's mail is a federal offense. So I mean,
right.
you know,
right.
how does this happen?
Right.
And it's funny that you bring that up, because my... I'm playing an online game with my cousin called The Secret World, and one of the factions in the game is the Illuminati. And I was telling my father-in-law about this game, and well, you can post post messages about it on Facebook.
How was that? Was the audio breaking up there?
Yeah, it broke up for a second there, Alfred. If you could repeat that, that would be lovely.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, but what I was saying is I'm playing a game right now, an online game that involves secret societies, three of them. One of them just so happens to be the Illuminati. But I was telling my father-in-law about this, and he thought it was hilarious that I could just openly speak about this supposedly secret world. He said, so what's so secret about it if you can blatantly make Facebook posts about it? And I thought that was a very interesting point. I thought it was pretty funny.
Right. Right, you know, and I get to talking, like, somebody would tell me about the Freemasons and how evil they are, and I'm like, you must have read that Dan Brown book and really believe that shit. And so he really gets very animated about it. I'm like, you can buy a Freemason bumper sticker. How
yes.
evil is your organization that you, when you have bumper stickers? I'm sorry.
I don't even make a chance for that, because there's a lot of military Freemasons, and they put bumps, and they're very open about it, and they really do. I have some actually that I work with every day that are Freemasons, and they put those bumper stickers on their vehicles, but it's not necessarily what people think. You know, the Freemasons in the older armies, you know, back in the Cold War and even up to the Desert Storm, there were two separate factions of Freemasons. Now, this is something I'll hold by an older soldier, is that the two separate factions did not like each other. One faction of Freemasons could use their influence from the fraternity to to give others promotion, while the other ones kept it, you know, separate from work. So if you know, I'm not entirely sure how they're necessarily evil. I mean, there are just, the one faction is disenfranchised with people who are not a part of them, but at the same time, that's a very justified thing to do within a large.
Well, you know what? You bring up something that's really, I think, important to understand about these organizations. Like, even with fraternities and sororities, right? These are networking clubs. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
These are clubs that usually include people who are highly educated or come from a certain, you know, economic background. And, you know, they are, you know, they're networking. They're using these opportunities to get themselves ahead. And, you know, yeah, I mean, of course, if you look at these organizations and you see that most of the people in these organizations happen to be, you know, at Fortune 500 companies or in government or something like that, there's a reason for that. They went to school. They have, you know, parents who are, you know, highly educated. They come from those backgrounds anyway. You know, you're more likely to be a member of a fraternity or sorority if you go to college, right or wrong.
Exactly.
You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, you have to go to college to become a
exactly.
member. Well, I mean, depending, because,
you know
they
mean.
Now have these religious sororities and fraternities. You know, you have a lot
right.
of different people with these different fraternities and sororities. But in the traditional sense, you know, these are college-funded and college-backed organizations, because many of them do volunteer work. They do you know, outreach on the college campuses as well as the local communities in their, you know, areas. And so, I mean, it's just interesting, you know, how all of this comes about, and especially you have these so-called secret college, you know, fraternities or sororities, you know, Skull and Bones, the Bull, you
they're
know.
They're not
it's,
even secret, though. They're,
exactly.
they're on campus. I mean, the AKAs don't tell you everything that they do. That's for
exactly.
the people who are AKAs. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Exactly.
You have to be a member. If you're not a member, why would I tell you everything? What's left for my members?
Exactly. That's exactly. And I mean, and for some of the other ones, you know, some of the other fraternities and sororities. Now, there are some out there in which you have to be a legacy. If you are, and what I mean by legacy means that someone in your family has to be a member of it. That is the only way you will be able to become a member of certain fraternities and sororities. And we're not talking about the AKAs. We're not talking about the Deltas and Alphas. You know,
right.
you can get hooked up and, you know, become a member of those particular sororities and fraternities. But there are some other ones out there that, you know, you may or may not know the names of. Because, again, if you're not from that particular family or bloodline, you're just not getting in, period. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But, so, yeah, you know, going back to what we were saying, yeah, you know, it's about, in some cases, education. It's about your bloodline. It's about what kind of money you came from. Are you from old money? Are you from new money? There are a lot of different factors that go into all of this, depending on, you know, what you're talking about. But it's just, it's interesting. You know, for the average Joe or Joanne on the street, I'm trying to understand how they really truly believe that this information was filtered down to the average person, and they're supposed to, you know, basically be enlightened and have a bunch of information that other people do not have. Now, I guess, you know, with the Illuminati, they're supposed to be the quote-unquote enlightened ones, and now you have your everyday average person claiming to have information about the Illuminati. So now they're enlightened as well, you know, in their minds, they're enlightened as well. So which one, who's correct?
I mean, why are they even calling themselves enlightened? Like, I'd like to know what their credentials are. Like, what makes you enlightened? Are you a scientist? Are you a biologist? Like, what did you do that makes you enlightened? What did you see?
Exactly. You know.
Exactly.
You know, and, you know, the whole thing, like I said, you know, it's interesting because, you know, with these conspiracy theories, they're usually based on, you know, claims and really out there far-fetched claims. And they're
yeah.
pretty much impossible to prove or disprove. And
right.
So, you know, we're always asking them for the evidence, but then they try to flip it on us and tell us to provide the evidence. And in order
right.
for us to disprove it, that means we have to prove it, which means we have to do their job for them, which I find, you know, I find that amusing.
That's actually a logical fallacy.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people know that. That is, hold on, no, not passive wages, not Occam's razor, and Russell's teapot, there we go.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
You know, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mario.
Okay. I read all three of the Dan Brown books dealing with the Freemason and Illuminati, Angels and Demons, The Da Vinci Code, and The Lost Symbol. And basically, if I'm understanding this correctly, enlightenment means you know a lot of old world shit. You know a lot of, you're really hooked into a higher echelon of scientific and ancient knowledge. Now the problem with that, you know what I'm saying? The problem with that I have, though, is that who cares? Okay, if you know what I'm saying? You still need somebody who has a lower IQ than you to fix your car. You know what I'm saying? You don't know how to fix that car. You don't know anything about that car. You know about this obscure ancient symbol, and you know what that person meant when he created it, but you don't know how to fix your own tire, okay? So enlightenment to me is a very relative term. Just like knowledge and IQ, it's very relative, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you might be smarter than me at math, you know what I'm saying, but there's something else that you're not as good as me at. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that.
Yeah, like I'm enlightened about mid-90s hip hop, but I'm not enlightened about Dance Moms.
Right.
I don't know that one, so I won't claim to be enlightened about that. So yeah, it is relative.
Exactly. And you know, the whole thing, like I said, is interesting because these people claim to have this knowledge, but they can't bring facts or the proof. And then they want us to believe it just on their word and their word alone. And that's not life. That's not how life works. You know, you have to be able to prove it, and it's not our job to disprove these theories that you have. However, you know, I will acknowledge that in the past, there have been times in which people were scapegoated, people, situations were manipulated, and what was thought to be a conspiracy theory turned out to be true, you know, like the Tuskegee experiment. That turned out to be true.
What's so funny about the Tuskegee experiment was it wasn't really a conspiracy. Like, it was known. Like, it wasn't maybe known in the public, like it was on the news, but then we're talking about, you know, of like a 50-year period here, you know what I mean? But it was out there. It was written about. There were news articles. There were scientific articles. It was presented at meetings. So it wasn't a conspiracy. No one was keeping it a secret. They were denying those men the drugs because they were trying to see the progression of syphilis, and they were wrong because the minute that penicillin became known as a cure, they should have given it to those men. And they didn't.
And, you know, basically, go ahead. Oh, okay, no, I thought someone was trying to speak. But, yeah, now with the Skiggy experiment, you know, again, it ruined a lot of lives. And, again, you know, that's one of the issues that I personally have. Instead of us sitting around the kitchen table and whispering about these issues and talking amongst one another, why don't we just bring it to the open and have dialogues and discussions about it so that we can put the facts on the table, and then when you walk away, you can accept what you accept or toss out what you toss out. But they definitely, this needs to be discussed. You know, these issues definitely need to be discussed because it does not help us to have, you know, segments of the population walking around believing things that in most cases are not true. And so we just need to bring that information out and, you know, talk to people about these issues because we have enough We have enough issues weighing us down. We don't need the extra paranoia, you know. And, you know, to the paranoid mind, you know, the Illuminati succeeded in their goals and, you know, pretty much have infiltrated every government and every aspect of society. So, I mean, if that's the case and they've infiltrated everything and everybody, then I guess my question is, how do you know what you've been told in your people? How do you know you all haven't been infiltrated and fed misinformation that you're bringing to the rest of us as factual? So, again, you know, present the information, let us know where you're coming from, what's really happening here, because, you know, it's just interesting. We have, you know, cognitive biases, and it distorts our judgment. It allows us to maintain beliefs, you know, despite whatever evidence that's out there, we believe the opposite.
Right.
And, yeah, so, you know, it's not only with the conspiracy theories, it ties in with the religion. And, you know, we have to work on this. We have to get better at it. And, you know, we have to learn how to sit down and discuss these issues with one another without becoming emotional or, you know, accusatory in tone. It's important that we're able to do that, but then also those that do have the information, you know, to present, you know, the facts. We have to learn how to be patient with people who are just going on what they've been told and be patient and present it to them and allow them to ask questions and to explain it from there. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, but I mean, with the cognitive biases, you know, people have a tendency to see patterns where none exist. To take information, whether, you know, it's old information and call it differently. You know, I'm pretty sure you all remember that experiment in school in which you'll have 12 kids lined up. The teacher will tell the first child something, and then it goes down the line. They have to tell each other what the person preceding, you know, had told them. And by the time it got to the last student, it was something totally different. It had been totally distorted. And so we have to take that into consideration because a lot of these stories, you know, have passed down generation to generation. And we just have to address it, you know. People are interpreting new information in different ways. Someone posted a couple of pictures on the event wall, and it was showing that during the Olympics, it was it had the Freemason symbol up there. And, you know, just showing the correlation, and I think that was Snow White and the Prince, and they compared that to Prince William and Kate getting married. And so, you know, they're making these correlations and putting it together, and this is not, you know, mocking or ridiculing anyone, but I'm trying to understand where this information is coming from and how people are putting this all together. I mean, it's amazing when you look at it, you know. And this is not to say conspiracies never happen, because they do.
No.
You know, it happens.
You know, I totally agree that they do happen, and I'm about to have y'all on the phone to pay attention to the GPS in a second. But I do believe that there are powerful entities, powerful corporations, powerful governments, stuff like that. That's not really far-fetched to believe, because we know about a lot of this stuff that goes on. You could argue that, you know what I'm saying, P&G, Procter & Gamble, or gigantic corporations like that, in which you go down the chemical aisle, you see all these different name brands, and you don't realize that they're all owned by the same company. You know, stuff like that. And that, to me, that's not necessarily a conspiracy theory, but that's an idea that there are powerful companies out here that influence a lot of different things. But, you know, I often think that a lot of times, like when I'm talking to a believer and they have the need to believe in this evil entity that is influencing the negativity in their lives in the world, and then I talk to a conspiracy theorist believer who a lot of times are atheists, they have a need to believe that there's also this powerful evil entity that's influencing a lot of negativity going on in the world. And it's almost like, is it human nature that we have to have this chief villain, this chief entity or something like that that's influencing everything like that?
Exactly.
Yeah,
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Go ahead.
like we have to be the prey to some sort of predator. When it seems like, I mean, really, if we didn't have guns, our fleshy little bodies would not be at the top of the food chain.
Hell no.
So maybe we do just need a predator. I got to run from something. We got to be a gazelle every day now. I believe what you're saying there.
Exactly. And, you know, he's right when he was saying that, you know, if it's not the devil of the Bible, now it's some other evil entity. And, again, you know, it's just, it's interesting. Does there have to be, you know, an enemy or some type of, you know, entity there, if you will, that everyone has to be against? Because that's what goes along with the movement. You know, they always have a common enemy. They always have a common goal, as where, you know, if you have the devil, everybody's mad at the devil. Everybody's angry at the devil. Now you have these particular people, these organizations, these families, these people who want to oppress everyone else. So now they're the common enemy. And so, you know, I guess, you know, after they're done NW for the Illuminati, who's next? What's the next set of people that they're going to, you know, vilify?
Like, even if it's not something that's over you completely socially on a global scale, and it's a mortal danger to you, even if it's just something that's a general interest, it's like, oh, the New York Yankees are evil. You know, they're just picking something to be the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Someone or something has to be the enemy. And, you know, the correlation from today's society that we live in, you know, that I show people, you know, now that laws are being passed that they can no longer pinpoint or discriminate against the LGBT community, who's next is going to be, you know, the non-believer. You know, and it's just unfortunate because they have to have an enemy. They have to have someone that they have to fight, someone that will rally, you know, rally the troops around one another, pull everybody together, so that they can fight against something instead of, you know, fighting against, you know, that cognitive dissonance that's going on in their head and coming to some type of truth.
And, you know, and I'll tell you what, if that boy Paul Ryan, if he was a Democrat, then they would be going after atheists real tough because of all that Ayn Rand business with that
well,
atheist writer.
They already came at him for that. They basically made him repudiate Ayn Rand because of her atheism, even though he had said that he agreed with her views.
Yeah, but because he's a part of their crew, it's easy for him to just say that. Like, he can say that, and then they'll believe it. But if he was a part of the other crew, they'd be like, "Nah, you liar! Admit
it,
liar."
But he wouldn't be a Democrat if he wouldn't be a Democrat if he believed in Ayn Rand's views on objectivism.
Oh no! Or if he followed Dawkins or any atheist, you can't. It's like how Obama has to overstate, "Now, I'm a Christian." Get pictures of me in church.
The whole thing is just interesting. You know, in regards to, you know, finding, Ayn Rand or Ayn Rand thing there with Ryan, you know, they're going to try to downplay that, you know, because she was a well-known atheist. And, I mean, it's just the whole thing, again, you know, looking at the psychology behind it, you know, about having a common enemy. And, you know, this, not only the psychology, but the sociology behind it. You know, this has been proven that groupthink and, you know, mob mentality, that if you find, you know, people will project and they will find something wrong with someone else to get the attention off of them. So if they have a common enemy, they can focus on that particular common enemy and not necessarily have the focus or the spotlight on them. And going back to, you know, the NWO and the Illuminati, I just find it interesting that, you know, people are pointing the finger at a certain sector of society and trying to say that because of the disparities in income, disparities in power, so on and so forth, that it must be some type of evil conspiratorial, you know, plot. And that's not necessarily the truth. you know, what I would tell some people, instead of giving all that money to your local church, you know, try to help one another. Try to help one another, you know, take that, and regardless of some type of evil plot or conspiracy to try to kill off the population, why don't you all try to do what you need to do to find a solution to the possible issue? I hear all these people talking about these conspiracy theories, but I never hear of any solution. I want to know what you're doing. What are you doing to combat these evil theories that are out there? You know, what are you doing besides sitting around and talking about it? And I think that's the most important part. You know, even though I don't necessarily believe in all of these conspiracies, but for those that do, you know, there has to be a way. Are you just going to lay down and die? Sit there and allow people to just take over? There has to be
no, they're waiting. Yeah, of course they're going to lay down and die, because on the other side for them is, you know, according to them, is heaven.
Yeah.
You know, the first shall be last, the meek shall inherit the earth, all of that craziness.
Exactly. Exactly, you know, and it's just, it's interesting, and someone made a comment in the room saying, but it's on YouTube, it must be true, and again, that's the reason why we're telling people, be very careful about the information that you take in, be very careful about the information that you're sharing with other people, just because it's on the internet, just because it's on YouTube, or just because it's on certain blogs, that does not make it true.
Right, that's because somebody didn't follow up a comment with the word, with LOL behind it, does not mean that you can take it for gospel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or if they say it while they're wearing a good suit. Or somebody says it and they have a real sharp haircut and they got a real sharp jawline.
Or they say it over top of ominous music.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, that's always great. You get some symphony strings in there.
Exactly. And so, you know, it's interesting. You know, I see people trying to twist what we're saying. And again, you know, we're talking about how people try to find, you know, a common enemy. And, you know, they try to pinpoint that particular set of people. And once they're done with one particular group, they just move on to another group. But yeah, you know, going back, yeah, you cannot necessarily believe everything that you see on YouTube. You have a lot of people out here with all these different theories, with all of these different, you know, beliefs. And after a while, you know, you're just going to have a big set of confused people. They're not going to know what to believe, or they're going to be so gullible and vulnerable that they go from one theory to the next theory, from one group to the next group, from one ideology to the next ideology, because they're just following along. And in some cases, some people are going along to get along. And that's where, you know, some of the issues come in. And that's why we challenge people to think and live for themselves, not necessarily just go along with that group think and that particular mob mentality, because that's going to get you in trouble every time. Even though I do believe that there are times when we do have to band together and work collectively in order to affect change. So, you know, again, I'm not, you know, tossing out the baby with the bathwater, if you will. But, it's just, you know, the whole thing is interesting. Looking at some of the comments in the chat room, you know, saying that people are demonizing those who don't accept common explanations. No, no one is demonizing those who don't accept common explanations. What we're asking you to do is to provide the evidence. You know, we're not telling you what to think or how to think. We just want you to help us to understand. Help us to understand what you believe.
The problem is that people who follow these things, they claim to know. They claim to know. And to know means that it means that you have some sort of evidence. Because knowledge is not the same as a belief. Like, you can't just boil knowledge down to belief. Knowledge is a specific thing. It has evidence to back it up. Either things exist or they don't exist. And things that exist, you can demonstrate with evidence. So if you're going to say that you know these things to be true, you need to show where you got them from, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And another thing that I want people to understand and to know is there is money behind these conspiracy theories. There is economic, you know, economics behind this. It is an industry. You know, some of the more vocal conspiracy theorists out there, they're telling you to buy gold. They're telling you to get subscriptions to particular magazines. Exactly. You know, we have a lot of
Go to their seminars.
So they're making money off of it. They've turned it into an industry. And so we just want you all to be aware of that as well, because someone is benefiting from this. You know, but then there are also people that are hurting from it as well, because let's say if they don't like a particular business or a particular industry, if you will, then they're going to do their public relations and they're going to try to turn people against those particular businesses and particular people. So we have to be very careful, because it's been proven at times that people that were vilified and demonized, if you will, they were innocent. Those businesses had not done what they were said to have done. And, again, it's about PR. I mean, you're seeing it in the, you know, with the election ads, with them making false accusations on both sides of, you know, both political parties. And it's just, it's interesting, but you have to be very careful. I tell people to go and do their research. Research all of this stuff. Research it. And if you have evidence, bring it to us. Don't have a problem with it. You know, we don't have a problem with you challenging what we're saying. We have no problem with you presenting us with information. We do read this stuff. You know, we do read it. And we watch the videos, even though sometimes it's hard to get through some of it. But we want to be fair about be fair
yeah.
about
the situation. Oh, it was also very, very hard. It really was.
Well, okay, so, you know, guys, you know, we talked a little bit about it. We're going to open up the phone lines, and the telephone number, again, is 310-982-4273. Again, 310-982-4273. If you would like to speak with us, you must press 1. And also, you can Skype into the show. If you scroll up to the top, you will see a little blue button with an S on it. So you press that, and that's how you Skype in. So let's take our call, our first call from area code 614. May we ask who's calling?
Yeah, this is Nate out of Columbus, Ohio. How y'all doing today?
Good, Nate. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm going to start out by saying that this is a very refreshing conversation that I'm hearing, because I see it if I'm out over some people's houses or if I'm on Facebook, all these, in my opinion, are crazy conspiracy theories. For example, the Illuminati conspiracy. In my opinion, I think it's a Christian-created conspiracy, because from my viewpoint, if you line the two up side by side, it's almost as if they're offering the same value system. And it's, to me, it's always struck me kind of funny. And in the conversation that you guys are having, I think you pointed it out already, where, okay, they're willing to give up Christianity, but they're willing to take up this Illuminati theory. And I just don't get it. If you're looking to be a better thinker, why would you buy into this? Because they're offering you, from my point of view, the same things that Christianity is doing. It's just that it's all cloaked. Another theory that has always bothered me is the HARP. I don't know if you guys heard about people talk about this.
Yeah, I've heard of HARP. Mm-hmm.
I think it's crazy. I really do, because when they want these secret government agencies to stay secret, guess what? They're going to stay secret. If someone decides to open up their mouth, they will be handcuffed, they will be thrown in a jail cell in a corner where you will never hear from them again. When they talk about how they can control the weather, they can control hurricanes, they can make earthquakes, I often ask the question, do you understand what you're saying? Do you understand the amounts of energy that are necessary to make not only make a hurricane, but to focus that energy? And even more so, even if they have the technical know-how, and our Gulf Coast or Atlantic Coast is being hit by a hurricane, what's the payoff? Where's the benefit at? I do not understand it. And that's one of the reasons why, me, myself, I'm always telling people, strive to be scientifically literate. And one of my reasons for saying that is so that some charlatan can't come along someday and fool you. And you folks already pointed it out, there's a big money industry when it comes to these conspiracy theories. And here it is, you're going to have some charlatan come around, tell you something that's totally malarkey, that's unscientific, yet you're going to buy into it. Not just buy into it with your own philosophy, but with your own dollars. To me, that's incredibly foolish. And what is more...
No, I was going to say, and like back to what you were saying about HARP and the secrecy, they're so secret that they actually invite you to email them and ask them questions about what they're doing on their website.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They're
so
secret that they're inviting you to ask questions.
Right, and maybe we should post the link to that so that the people who do have these questions, let's give them the link. Let's put their information out there so they can ask them the questions directly. There's nothing to fear. Ask them the questions. And see, that's the thing. When you present people with information like that and say, well, go directly to the source and ask questions, they're like, no, they're just going to lie to us. But how do you know that? How do you know that these people are lying? So you've made your mind up. And then you want to say everyone else is closed-minded. But it's important that, you know, you look at the big picture. And you see the situation exactly for what it is. But if these people are opening themselves up, answer your question, because they're trying to basically, you know, diffuse the confusion, diffuse the lies and the misinformation and the half-truths that are out there, and they're trying to correct it. You know, I feel that you, and I challenge those people out there, I challenge you to, you know, click on the links and ask the people the questions. What is it going to hurt? It's not going to hurt anything. That's why we tell you all to question everything. And if you can get to the person, you know, via the website with, you know, or the email or what have you, do it. It's not going to hurt anything. It helps you. Go ahead, hon.
Exactly. And I think, I don't mean to be vicious about this, but when we ask people, do your own research, you know, dig through it. I think some people get lazy and they don't want to do it. They want everything handed to them. But then in there, that's in my viewpoint. A lot of American society can be like that. Here, I'm going to sell you this pill and you're miraculously going to get thin. So the same is true when it comes to these conspiracy theories, that when you ask someone, please do your homework. Please do your due diligence. But when you come back to them a day later, a week later, they still have nothing to say. I mean, with me, I'll debate them in a certain logical way. Well, when I come back to them a day later or a week later, they don't have much to say. If they start to repeat what they say, I go back, well, this is the point that I just brought up over here. You haven't done your research yet. You know, please look through it. And they come back and tell me what they think. And something else that has been pointed out, a lot of these people that may start them or perpetuate many of these theories, how many science classes did they take? How good were they in science? Did they take a half a class when they were in college and they think that they're an expert all of a sudden? Or what books did you read? You know, did you read one book and all of a sudden you're an expert and you can tell me for a certain fact that X equals Y over here? I don't get that. I don't.
Yeah. But we still have to even be careful with that because, you know, with some of the experts, you know, out here, just a small minority of experts, some of them, you know, have presented misinformation, have been influenced by donations or influenced by money that can be made if they endorse certain beliefs or what have you. And, you know, nowadays anyone can be categorized as an expert, so we have to be very, very careful as to who we give that particular title to or who we listen to. But, again, you know, going back to, you know, what you've been talking about. Go ahead, Raina.
I was going to say, yeah, it depends on who you're talking about and what level of expertise. Like History Channel has substantially lowered their criterion for expertise. You will see people on there who, you'll see people on there who are amateur archaeologists. If someone says they're an amateur archaeologist, they're not an archaeologist. They're an archaeology enthusiast.
Yeah, it's a hobby.
And they may. And they may actually have evidence to back up what they say, although if they're on Ancient Aliens, no way. But they may actually have evidence for what they say. But you have to still examine their evidence. And then the other thing to look for is, are they representing themselves as an expert in an area where they have no expertise? Are they an economist representing themselves as an expert in neuroscience? You know, are they a psychologist representing themselves as an expert on climate change?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And these
exactly.
are things that you need to keep an eye out for.
That's a really good point.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I would suggest that people read this book called How to Lie with Statistics. And it gives you a lot of different ways in which people can, you know, lie with the information. They'll say, well, according to 100 doctors that we surveyed, you know, you should take a B complex pill every day. But they're not telling you that those were like 50 veterinarians and 50 podiatrists. I mean, so you just have to be really careful with the information that you're taking in, you know, and, you know, It can happen all day long. You know, it's not as though they were talking to an endocrinologist or an internist or people who would have a better idea as to, you know, the chemistry behind, you know, whatever it is that they're telling you to take. But we won't even go into the homeopathy. We don't want to set rain off this afternoon. But, you know.
That's too bad.
But,
it's
you know,
water.
I wouldn't take that, Raina.
What'd you say?
I said I wouldn't take that.
I just said my piece. I just said that. It's water. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
But, you know, again, going back to, you know, this information, again, we want you to go and research this Illuminati. And, you know, according to the research, you know, it was founded on May 1st, 1776. There was another important event that took place in 1776. Kind of makes you wonder where some of the propaganda came from, but I'll leave that alone. But, you know, again, you know, as it says here, this was during the Age of Enlightenment period where new ideas of free thought were being explored. And, you know, as a fraternal order of free thinkers, they mused over ideas which were not generally accepted. Some of these ideas included the notion that God did not exist, man was free to direct their own destiny, and people should not be subjected to their kings. In a European society where it was the churches which held sway over the government, this was indeed a threat. So, you know, they gave a book called Proofs of a Conspiracy Against All the Religions and Governments of Europe. And so, you know, I'm just reading all of this, and I've been taking it in for the past couple of weeks, especially this past week, and I just say use some discernment when you're reading this information. Use some discernment when you're sharing it with other people. But again, you know, first and
she means use that thing between your shoulders. We're not talking about spiritual discernment.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
I just wanted to be clear, Kim, what we're talking about.
Walk by sight, not by faith.
I'm not going to go off about spirituality today, but you the thing in between your shoulders.
Right, that 3 inches of gray matter. You know, use right. that thing.
Exactly.
You know.
There's another one that... Mm-hmm. That's out there. Now, I did enjoy, maybe this is wrong, but I did enjoy ripping it apart, and that is the biblical thing about the Nephilim, these giant humans that supposedly existed, and someone was on my Facebook page is trying to present evidence of this by showing certain skeletal remains as compared to a normal human being. And I just thought, how, you know, you're showing me pictures, but how do I know they're not photoshopped or anything like that? And the person tried to tell me, oh, well, there's been documentation of this. I'm like, well, where's the documentation at? They never showed me anything. But when they showed, when they were showing me these photos of what looked like giant skeletal human remains, I was like, hold on a second. Let me go get something for you. So what I did, I went to Google, and I typed in forced perspective. And it brought up all these different pictures of how you can view a certain look. You can look, you can make things look a certain way if you take it.
Not just that, but I know the particular photo that you're talking about. That was actually in a photo of a photo competition for people using Photoshop.
Oh.
To come up with the most convincing photograph that they could, just with simple manipulation.
That goes right back to my point of understanding not just scientific literacy, but also understand what technologically, what we can technologically do from our own laptop. For example, someone that I know here locally was trying to show me video evidence from YouTube. Of a black hole opening up in our atmosphere. And I had to tell him, do you understand how that's tricked and how that's played? So I went and Googled some things, and I showed him different software that's for sale to show that effect. Then after that, you know, everything was said and done. He never did bring that up to me again. And it's just understand, and I like to point, or think with discernment. Just because you see it on YouTube doesn't mean it's true. Sure, there are a lot of good, there's some good information on YouTube. You know, I don't want to say that YouTube is 100% bullshit. There are some good things. There are some good lectures out there that you may be able to listen to on YouTube. My personal favorite for lecture is TED.com. But anyway, with YouTube, I mean, yeah, you got some things that are nice, but there's a lot of people out there that are putting some trick photography, trick motion photography on YouTube, be it for attention, they're trying to sell a video, or they're trying to get attention for their own blog talk radio show.
Just that, but, you know, sometimes people post things and they sincerely believe that these things that they're seeing are true, but they just don't, they misinterpret. They don't have the expertise to identify what they're seeing. There's a NASA channel on YouTube that basically has to deal with the ridiculous nonsense that comes out of you know, the internet and the YouTube, you know, different YouTube channels about different photographs or video that comes out of NASA. Like, there was one that I swear I'm not making this up. There was a video there was a video of a coronal ejection. Okay, so you guys know,
oh, wow.
Like the sun is essentially plasma, right?
Yeah.
And occasionally it belches, you know, these plasma things.
Right.
And I know I'm not, like, I say things is a technical term for me, guys, because I'm not a space scientist, okay? I'm not an astronaut. I'm not an astrophysicist. But anyways, and sometimes in these coronal ejections, you can kind of see, like, pits, right? And in the pit, it kind of looks like there's an object there, like it, but the YouTube person that posted this video swore to high heaven that this thing was a cloaked alien spacecraft that was fueling itself with fire from the sun.
That's special.
Okay,
that's special.
I'm not making this up, okay?
I'll take you on faith on that, okay?
and they had to come
and then there was an astrophysicist that had to come with I feel so bad for the guy. I really do. Because I'm like, dude, I know there must be more important things for you to do in your day. You know what I mean? So he had to get on YouTube and explain what it was that they were seeing. And it has to do with there's poles and there's sort of like magnetic, you know, sort of issues that go on the sun that sort of create these anomalies. And so what you were seeing was not a spaceship, you know what I mean? That's flying next to the sun. The sun burns. I don't even know what the sun burns at, but it burns at a ridiculous temperature. What kind of organism would survive that? Plus, you have to take into account gravity and all of these things. You know, it's like, what kind of idiot are you? Like,
that was a wild imagination.
Yeah. it's just the whole thing. I mean, you know, just in general, you know, because, again, we don't want people to think that we're mocking them or anything. But, I mean, evidence is evidence. And they had to bring in, you know, an expert to disprove that particular theory that someone happened to make a YouTube video about and probably had, you know, hundreds, thousands of, you know, views on that particular video, and people were passing it around and passing it as proof. I mean, it's just interesting, you know. It's just, I would tell people to, again, use discernment to get out there and investigate this information out here. You know, not everything is a conspiratorial. You know, not everything is a conspiracy. Not everything is a conspiracy to hurt you. And we have to get over this. We have to get over this paranoia and be able to sit down and dialogue and discuss with one another. And we're definitely going to post those links. Go to the source, people. Go to the source. Don't go by word of mouth that your cousin down the street told you that A, B, C, D, and E is happening, but, you know, this particular cousin is a functional illiterate. You know, how does he know? Where did he read it? He can't read. So where did it come from? And a lot of this is coming from word of mouth. Word of mouth, you know, no, get the evidence. Get the evidence.
You know what else I find interesting? When you do have a picture that is what it is, those people tend not to believe it. They'll have you believe that here's a video of a black hole opening up in our atmosphere, but let's say, for example, you show them a picture taken on Mars, and, for example, there's someone I'm debating now on Facebook, where there's a picture that Curiosity that took it, and it shows Venus, Earth, and I think it's Jupiter. And the person's saying, well, they think it's a fake. Well, why do you think it's a fake? Well, they have to keep up appearance. Well, okay, what's their benefit in keeping up appearance? Do you understand the making of what went into all that? Here, let me give you this link. You know, check out NASA JPL. You know, check this out, check that out. And I just find that fascinating.
Exactly. Exactly. We're getting better. We're getting better. I'll just say this. You have people out here that no matter what we tell them, they're going to believe the complete opposite. They're going to believe, because they don't necessarily believe the information that is being presented to them. And again, you know, you have to have filters. You cannot believe everything that's being presented to you. That's the reason why I encourage people to read newspapers from other countries, read information that's out there, because sometimes, you know, not all of the information and facts are presented, you know, through different media, you know, outlets, if you will. But get out there and do the research. But again, you cannot believe everything that you read. And here you have to do the research. And just because you have a group of people or a majority group of people believing in something or the other, that does not make it true. So it's just interesting, you know, with the groupthink. And again, you know, a lot of the psychology and, again, the sociology behind it, again, that's what we were talking about earlier, some people going along just to get along. And that's how, you know, they feed into a lot of these conspiracy theories because, you know, if they have a group of friends and that particular group of friends believe it, then, you know, it must be right. And that's not necessarily the case. That's not necessarily the case. You know, we have to do better, just in general. We have to do better. We have to get the information out there. We have to talk about these things. Our call-in number, again, is 310-982-4273. Again, 310-982-4273. Press 1 to speak with the host, and, you know, we'll bring you on board. But, yeah, I mean, again, we have to look at it. What's behind some of these conspiracy theories? You know, what's behind it? You know, what's fueling it besides what we talked about earlier as far as the economics of it is concerned? Because, again, you know, as we stated earlier, people make money behind these theories. People make money behind the paranoia. And that's just not only with conspiracy theories but also with the religion. There's a psychology, and they understand that many people want answers. That's the reason why you have these psychics and these fortune tellers, why they make so much money, because they tell people that they can tell them about their future. That includes the prophets of the church, if you will. And people want to know. People have a natural curiosity. But, you know, is it a healthy curiosity? Is it counterproductive? You know, just do the research. Do the research about these things. You know.
Yeah, I always research anything you hear that that seems like it's something you already agree with.
Exactly.
I won't just listen to like left liberal news. I'll go listen to right wing guy, and he might show some evidence that the left wing guy won't show me because he knows it might turn me off as a viewer or a listener.
Exactly.
Was that Mario?
No, Mario dropped off. But no,
oh.
But I mean, and you're right. You know, even if you believe something, you must continue to research it. You must continue to study because, you know, things change. And then, again, even with some of the things that we believe, there's some misinformation out there. And, you know, you have to read up on it. You have to research, you know, the information. But it's also good to know what other people on the other side of the equation are thinking as well. Because how can you refute or rebut an argument if you don't know what you're refuting or rebutting against?
Yeah.
And I see that with a lot of people with these empty hollow arguments and empty hollow examples that they're giving, but they don't understand where you're coming from. And I just think that's unfair on a lot of different levels there. And that's why I'm, you know, telling people to present me the information, present me your evidence so that I can get a better understanding, because I do want to understand a little bit more about why you feel the way that you do, why you think the way that you do. And I've done my research, but maybe you have something that I haven't seen, because I haven't seen and I haven't read everything. You know, I still have a lot to learn. So I encourage you to get that information over here to us.
And I like that point that you make. You know, show me something, because, and I've made that argument, do your homework, because you may find something that I may not find.
Right.
I think it's all in an effort to be better thinkers, not just... not just mindless zombies believing anything that comes our way.
Exactly. Exactly. And, William, you were about to say something?
Oh, yeah, like what you were saying, like where these theories might come from. And it seems like it just takes like a couple of egregious acts that just line up with each other, and all of a sudden, suddenly, though, they must be conspiring. Or, let me think of an example, something that's not egregious. Like, at the same time, you may have seen, like, all the burger places got a dollar menu at one time. And it's like, really, they just saw one place did it, and it made some money, so everybody else did it. You know, not all the managers from McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's got together and said, we're going to do this and make everybody fat. Yeah, no. You know, and then I have the 1998 burger theory all of a sudden.
Exactly. And before it was a dollar, it was 99 cents, you know, for less than a dollar. to feed the whole family, you know. Where did that extra penny come from? You know, is it funding some, you know, some Illuminati group? So I mean, I have to be careful because, you know. Yeah, you know, and Alfred is right. You know, they didn't sit down and have a meeting. We're going to create a 99-cent menu to get everybody fat and give them gas. That's not
the mayonnaise theory. Yeah, the great French fry equation. That's not actually happening. It was just business.
And for those of you who do not know, William, also known as Father Teresa, is a comedian. And, you know, he's bringing about, you know, a different perspective here, and it's refreshing because, again, sometimes, you know, you have to look at the humorous side of these things. And, again, it's not mocking anybody. It's not ridiculing anybody. It's just to bring a little levity to the situation. But,
okay, I'm sorry. I'm mocking some of these people. I'm just trying to be honest.
I was falling back. I was like, let Raina talk, because Raina has so much information here. Like, while I was going through the information, I was like, this is insane. How could somebody see this and believe this? And then I got to wonder, well, did the people who first hear about it, did they look it up like I did?
No.
Not necessarily. I mean, all it takes is, I mean, particularly with when, you know, it takes a little bit of confirmation bias, some,
mm-hmm.
you know, some self-deception, you know, an inability or a lack of information available, or inability to distinguish real information from misinformation.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, I remember, okay, now I went to public schools, but admittedly, the public schools that I attended are not necessarily representative of the United States as a whole. I'm putting it out there. I'm just, you know. But I remember when I was in school, they took quite a while, I think at least, you know, a couple of months, and we were studying in social studies about propaganda and propaganda techniques and all of these other things. Now, I kind of read a lot as a kid, so I'm a bookworm, so I'm a little weird anyway. So I'm not even going to try to represent myself as though I represent the mainstream somehow. Okay? But, you know, it's an issue of disparities in education. It's an issue of, you know, sort of, you know, the way that our culture is. I mean, we don't really focus on, you know, how a story develops, you know, where it comes from, what the history is. People want their news and their information in 10 seconds or less. That's the way our culture is. We want soundbite news. We want soundbite facts, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, you're right. You know, people want sound bites. People want the quick and dirty. People want, not all people, but there are some people out there that want to be told, you know, the answers. They want to be told everything in, you know, 30 seconds or less, if you will. They want you to go out and do the work, but they want to go out and continue to perpetuate, you know, that information or those theories, even if they're wrong. And, you know, going back to, you know, what, you know, Raina has stated earlier, you know, yeah, it is about confirmation bias, you know, cognitive bias, things of that nature. And it's just interesting, you know, when you try to sit down and you try to explain this to people, it's like, if it comes from us, it's rejected, but if it comes from their cousin, or if it comes from their pastor, or, you know, again, somebody that they follow on YouTube, then they accept it readily, and they reject any type of information that may prove otherwise. And so it's just interesting. But, you know, again, if we call ourselves open-minded, we have to be open-minded enough to listen to all the information presented to us. But, you know, to me, it's a mark of intelligence to still continue to filter out and discern your own, you know, viewpoint or perception, if you will. But, you know, also be able to take the information that other people bring in. You may not necessarily believe it or embrace it, but at least you'll be able to kind of, you know, look it over and investigate it to see, you know, because, I mean, there have been times when people have presented things that I'm like, okay, well, that's valid. That makes sense. you know, that's how you grow as an individual.
Yeah, or if you, you know, and if you don't have time to look it up, then don't change your life because of a theory you heard. Don't go stocking up on canned foods and building a bomb shelter in the back. No one else is doing that.
Or wallpapering your house with aluminum foil.
Yeah, and all you, and if it does go down and you're the only one that did that, well, now you're just a target. We all want your supplies now.
Right. Exactly, you know, and you're right, you know, they see you bringing in cases and cases of food, and, you know, if we do...
Yeah, you guys are taking me back to, you guys are taking me back to Y2K.
Yes, that was my next door neighbor. When I lived in Tacoma, my next door neighbor, it's this smart dude. He's a real estate guy. He owned houses in the neighborhood, and he was building an apartment complex in the neighborhood at the same time, and crime was going down. But this same guy is stocking up stuff in his bomb shelter for Y2K. Like, how are you that smart there, but that simple there?
Exactly. Exactly.
No, I was. I remember being at my cousin's house, and we were hungry. We wanted a snack, and we couldn't figure out what to eat, so we went in the Y2K cabin.
Right. And it was just the whole thing with that Y2K thing. It was interesting because, you know, I was doing work with computer stuff then, and the entire staff, everybody was on call that night, and, you know, I was into the religion thing a little bit then, and we were at church praying, and, you know, and what was interesting about that is that in some churches, not all of them, they were selling Y2K kits. So they were selling people, you know, pallets of food, and they were selling people all of this, and then, you know, during the altar call and collection, they were saying, well, go in your wallet and pull out the biggest bill that you had. And, of course, it was a Friday. It was payday. So the biggest bill, you know, most people have was like a $100 bill, right? And put that in the collection plate. And God will bless you, and this Y2K will pass, and blah, blah, blah. It's a scam, people.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling. Like, if you dare me to do it, I will start up a fake organization called Atheists for Jesus and go speak at churches and see if they give me money.
Yeah.
Like, because they probably will, just because they hear it from a source that they want to hear it from. Oh, these are Atheists for Jesus. They're good.
Oh, that would be too funny. Atheists for Jesus. I was talking about yesterday starting a new religion called the Luminous Ones or something to that effect. But, guys, we got another call. Let's take our caller in. And our call-in number is 310-982-4273. Again, 310-982-4273. And we have a caller from 203. May we ask who's calling?
Yeah, this is Lawrence. How you doing?
Hi, Warren. Good. And yourself?
Good. No, this is Lawrence Hunter, L-A-W.
Oh, Lawrence. Hey, Lawrence. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Anyway, I just wanted to kind of chime. Can you hear me okay? I'm on my Bluetooth.
If you can go to your phone, that would be even better.
How about now?
Perfect. Thank you so much, Lawrence. I appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, I just wanted to chime in concerning conspiracy theories and all that kind of stuff. You know, the problem is that we're dealing with people who just think differently, whether it's conspiracy theories or religion or whatever. So, you know, what we really need to do is come up with some kind of plan where we can really educate people on how to think better, whether it's people that do 10-4 of their houses or believe Y2K or believe in all the Illuminati and all this stuff. It's the first thing that they hear, they kind of run with that. Really have to chime in and understand, really get, first of all, understand what and how they think and how they process and receive information. And then from there, maybe we can hopefully slowly change how they think, try to re-educate them. So that's been kind of a mission of mine, is just try to educate people to think better and to process information differently.
Exactly, and you're talking about reverse engineering the situation, and this is really hard to do. And
right.
You get out there, and you know, you try to discuss these things, and that's why I say again, yeah, we're challenging them to think for themselves, and it's important. But you know, we have to present the information to them, but we also have to be patient enough to answer their questions as well.
And, And one of the biggest things that I've come across is that people, you present someone with facts, and the first thing they say is, well, facts don't matter. Facts change. Science changes. This is so frustrating because they're so resistant to new information that challenges their old way of thinking. So it's a continual struggle. And it frustrates me. However, it has to be done. If we're going to change things, we're going to change the way we go about doing our daily business and the world in general, then it's a slow process one day at a time.
Exactly. And, you know, getting into what you just said, yeah, they always talk about facts change, you know, science changes. It's disproven here with a new theory, and they don't necessarily understand the process. They don't understand peer review. They don't understand what a law is, what a theory is as far as science is concerned. But what they will say is the Bible or their religion or these conspiracy theories, they're all the same. And
right.
It never changes, and it is what it is. And many people tend to be, in some cases, intellectually dishonest, in which they would just rather hold on to what they know as opposed to being introduced to different information, different things that can, you know, either broaden their horizon or even totally disprove something that they once believed. And, you know, many people don't want to think that hard.
Right.
And we have
I just finished. Right, no, it's really difficult. I just finished Michael Shermer's book, The Believing Brain, and that is really such an eye-opening book because he talks about how conspiracy theories, religion, alien theories, and all this crazy stuff, and why people think that, and it gets down to the molecular level of the brain, and just how and why people process information, and. You know, some people will be able to get it. You know, you and I and other people who actually were in religion and who left religion were able to see that, okay, you know, this is nonsense. We're able to, the way we receive and process information, but other people who are still in it, who don't want to get out of it, you know, you talk to some people who will say, even if evolution is true and even if, even whatever, you know, there's an archaeological evidence that Jesus existed, I still want to believe this. I still want to hold on to this. I still want to hold on to conspiracy theories. No matter how many times you talk about 9/11 or whatever we're talking about, they just don't want to get it. And that's a tough nut to crack when you're dealing with people like that.
Exactly. I just posted an article in the chat room from Michael Shermer from Scientific America, American, and it's talking about conspiracy theory detector. And I'll post it on my wall a little bit later. But, yeah, it is. It's really a tough nut to crack. And, you know, it's just the whole thing is just interesting. But, yeah, we have to definitely, you know, infiltrate that and start educating people and informing them, but there is a way to do it. And again, if we set out and we make people feel as though they're less intelligent or less than or whatever, it's going to be counterproductive. And that's why I'm saying that we have to be patient. We have to present the information, especially those of us that were once religious or those of us that were once spiritual or those of us that were once conspiracy theorists. You know, we have to be patient because we were once on, some of us were on the other side of the equation. And with some people, it takes a little bit longer to get through to them. But again, present the information, you know, and as I like to say, plant the seeds and allow these people to grow. And because I've seen people read the information that was presented, and slowly but surely I would see their conversations change. I would see certain aspects of their thought processes change. We have to be patient. It doesn't happen overnight because it didn't happen overnight for me. You know, I can't speak for anyone else, but it took some time for me to come into full recognition, full acceptance of where I am now. And even now, you know, I accept the fact that I'm still evolving. I'm still learning. So it's a never-ending process, but we have to put the information out there. So I agree with you, Lawrence. You know, we have to learn how to do better. We have to get the information out there, and as far as, like, you know, the free thought community, we have to put a better face out there. We have to be a little bit more productive. We have to be friendlier. We have to, you know, open ourselves up so that people are willing to come and ask questions, because it's just as counterproductive when we're out there and we're telling people, oh, you're ignorant, oh, you're stupid, and they're not.
No, they're not. They're not.
Yeah.
One thing I've always agreed with that you said is that, you know, we have to be doing something. We have to be providing them with food, clothing, shelter. We have to provide them the things that the church has traditionally provided them. That's what's going to, first of all, get their attention. And then, you know, when I came out, a lot of times I don't even like to talk about religious things anymore. I want to do something else. Okay, I don't believe that, but what do I believe in? What do I think? And let's become a positive person. Let's help out in our community. Let's coach for our kids. Let's do other things so we can show them that even though we don't believe in it, we are still positive people. We're not the baby eaters that are responsible for all the social ills that people think that we are. You know, we're actually productive citizens who care about our community, who care about our planet, who care about our country. And if we can prove that to them by our actions, not by the things that we say, but by our actions, then I think that we can make some serious changes.
Exactly. Lawrence, you summed it up in a nutshell. It's important. That's extremely important. And, you know, even, you know, again, with the conspiracy theories and people out there that believe this, again, you know, my challenge to them is, if you believe this to be true and you believe that there is a conspiracy to eliminate, you know, certain populations or just the population in general, then what are you doing? What are we going to do to make sure that that does not happen? You know, we're not supposed to just lay down and die or lay down and allow someone to walk all over us. There is a way that we can work together in order to combat some of these, you know, conspiracies and plots or what have you. But we have to work together in that respect. And, you know, I'm looking for solutions.
I agree with that, solutions.
Yeah. But as soon as a bunch of atheists get together, that's going to be the new conspiracy. Now, what are the atheists trying to do? They're handing out blankets to homeless people so they can take their souls or something.
I don't want your soul. It's useless to me. It doesn't exist. I mean, that would be like me taking your imaginary friend.
Exactly.
Well, that's what they don't want. That's exactly what they want to hold on to, most importantly, their imaginary friend. That comfort in the middle of the night when they're scared or whatever, so... That's what they want.
Exactly. And then we also have to go out there and, like I said, define the terminology. A lot of people, they don't even know the full definition of the terminology or any definition of the terminology. We have to define it and then put it in the proper context for some people to understand what's happening and, you know, again, you know, be the example, not just sit out here and talk about it, get out here and do something. Because
right.
A lot of these people are basically, they're thriving on what I call the trinity of the church, which is fear, guilt, and shame. And that's what's fueling these conspiracies. That's what's fueling the religion. That's what's fueling the psychology behind it. Because, again, you know, many of these ministers, while many of them may not necessarily be educated, they're not dumb. Okay, they know exactly what they're doing. And they understand their audience. They understand their audience base. And, I mean, even with the conspiracy theorists, the people that are putting this out here, they understand exactly what they're doing. They understand the gullibility, the vulnerability of the average person. And they're exploiting it. And they're manipulating it. And, again, I tell people, follow the money. At the end of the day, it all boils down to money. Follow the money. For some of the people that are following people like Alex Jones, I'll go ahead and put it out there. He's selling gold. He's selling different things out there. He's making money. How do you think he's making his money? I mean, just think about it logically. The people who are telling you these things, how are they making their money? And some of the people even on YouTube with some of these videos, they're part of the partnership program. They make money every time you hit those videos. So they're feeding into some of the, you know, the paranoia. They're feeding into all of this, and they're making money from it. You know, if you catch them one-on-one, ask them, is that something that they really believe? Some of them don't even believe the stuff that they're telling you. You know, it's starting to come out with, you know, even in religion, and take it back a little bit, which I really didn't want to get into this a lot today, but even with some of these people in religion, the leadership, the pastors, deacons, whomever, it's starting to come out that many of them don't even believe what they're telling you, but they have nowhere else to turn. And the same thing with some of these conspiracy theorists I hear. Some of them were rejected from different groups. I was talking with Rain, I believe, the other day. We were talking about how Alex Jones was rejected in politics. Or was that Jesse Ventura?
No, that, well, Jesse Ventura, actually, he actually became governor of his state. So
yeah, he
I don't think
governor
he really counts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I mean, I don't think he would have ever become a senator or anything like that. I don't think he had the chops. And
right.
Honestly, I'm not sure how he became governor of Minnesota in the first place, except that maybe there are a lot of WWF fans out there. But from what I understand,
right.
He wasn't a horrible governor, but still doesn't make any sense.
Well, he's a pretty smart guy. I just think that he kind of put his foot
no,
in his mouth.
I mean, he's a smart guy. He's freaking
religion.
Crazy. He's freaking crazy if you watch Conspiracy Theory.
Yeah, he's got some
but,
stuff
you know,
that's out there. He's got some stuff that's out
he's,
there.
He's gone a little overboard. He's gone off the deep end. But,
yeah.
You know, but as far as, like, Alex Jones, yes, he was rejected by politics.
Exactly.
You know, he was unsuccessful in his efforts to get into government. And, you know, and I can't tell you how bitter he is about it. I don't know the man. I'm just saying that I think it's a little odd that for a man who, you know, who once, you know, tried to get into politics and failed, you know, to then turn around and say, oh, the Illuminati are trying to, you know, take over. It's like, well, you were just trying to join up with them not too long ago, so...
Exactly.
You know, what's that about, you know?
Exactly. And that's the reason why I wanted to bring that particular point out. Again, people, some of these people, if they can't work the system on one side of the equation, they're going to work the system on the other side of the equation. At the end of the day, it boils down to money for many of these people. So I just want you all to take that into consideration. You know, follow the money. Follow the money. That's the
best. Although
we
don't have to follow it for too much longer because, you know, the other conspiracy theory is that, you know, the world's going to end in, you know, in a few short months. So,
right.
Like, what do we have? Like,
oh, yeah, October.
Like,
oh, yeah.
We've got like 4 months
December.
To live now, don't we? Yeah.
Yeah. The Mayan calendar, that's going to be in December. Yeah, it should be interesting. You know, I tell you, you know, we should have started selling, you know, end of the world, what is that called? The rapture insurance. We should have sold
rapture.
That, you know, for those of us that would
well,
be
you
left
know
behind.
You know, they have that rapture pets. Have you
right.
heard about rapture pets?
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
that is like the world's most brilliant idea.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to sell rapture insurance. I wanted to sell it, you know. So, you know, if they were raptured away, we would walk their dogs and, you know, keep their house up until their nearest relative could come, you know. So it was
yeah,
just,
or
it was
I'll really come by. I'll delete your porno stash before somebody finds it.
Right.
Hey, you don't get judged by that.
You know, so it was just—it's just the whole thing is interesting. But you know, again, you know, we're finding some humor in it. But you know, this is really serious to some people. And again, we just challenge you. We challenge you to do the research. Send us the information, Raina. Tell them how they can contact you there.
Oh, you can reach me through the RSS feed Facebook page or through the Black Freethinkers Facebook page. I'm on there quite frequently. And my blog, Roads to Reality. So you can reach me on there. I actually have a comment line. So if you don't feel like you can just capture enough of your rage or, like, anger at, like, my words, you know, you can just go ahead and call me. And leave a voice message. And I'm sure that I will get all of that anger.
And
you know?
She should. I listen to the show. I hear some of you guys getting mad at them when they're calling in. So there should be 15 emails in the next 2 hours.
It's just too funny. And William, tell them how they can contact, well, your information there so they'll know where to find you.
Yeah, you can get a Father Teresa's Wine Cellar on Facebook, The Father Teresa, and on Twitter. That's The Father Teresa on Twitter. And just hit me up. Get at me directly at The Father Teresa on Ymail. I'm not famous. I have time to contact you back. You know, we can chat it back and forth.
Very good, very good. And, you know, the whole thing is interesting. Alfred, are you there? There's Alfred. Alfred is back on the line.
Yes, I'm here.
Alfred, tell us how they can contact you as well.
You can contact me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, or like a group and an actual page. I actually put it in the chat. It's facebook.com/dragnaut, DRAGNAUCT. Or you can just look up my real name. And I also recently made a Facebook page called Mental Masturbation. And if you don't know what that is, go look up the Urban Dictionary definition.
I don't know why in my head, like, I'm hearing, like, mental masturbation over, like, that sexual seduction beat. Like, no, sorry.
Oh, that is funny. And, you know, for me, you guys, you can find my information on the Blog Talk Radio homepage. You can find Black Free Thinkers on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter. We're out there. I've given the telephone, as a matter of fact, the P.O. box and the telephone number is public information on the Facebook page. Our telephone is 312-725-8339. Again, 312-725-8339. You can leave us a voicemail. You can text me. On some days, I even answer the phone. So it may be your lucky day next week. So go ahead and contact me. Email address is blackfreethinkers@gmail.com. Again, that's blackfreethinkers@gmail.com. Or you can write me at kim@blackfreethinkers.com. Again, kim@blackfreethinkers.com. And I'm doing better about the email, so bear with me here. But, you know, again, this information is out there. You know, again, send us the links. Send us the information you have so that we can read it, because this is only the first show regarding conspiracy theories. We wanted to talk about the NWO and Illuminati and just define what a conspiracy theory happens to be. And, you know, we're going to do another show. We're still trying to decide exactly what, because the 9/11 show will be a show in and of itself. You know, maybe that should be our next show.
God. I'm not ready for that, Kim. Oh, gosh. No, I don't know. I got research I got to do for my next show. So what do you think about putting that on the calendar? You gotta let us know.
That'll probably be about a month from now. So,
okay, that's fine.
That gives us a time. Because we still have to do some part two. And, oh, next week's show, next Sunday, we will be talking about biblical history, the origins of the Bible. So we're going to start our history series. So next week is part one of the biblical history, the origins of the Bible, and the next one after that is either going to be did Jesus exist or mythologies. You know, we're going to do a comparative analysis of the different mythologies and the different saviors that have been out there. And I think that should be the second one so that you can get a better understanding. And then the third one will be did Jesus exist. And so it should be interesting. You know, we're doing these series so that we can kind of educate the public on what's out there, the information out there. And, again, we open up the telephone lines to believers and non-believers, anybody who wants to call in. You know, you're welcome to call the show. And, you know, we can discuss these things. It's important. And also I wanted to make sure I acknowledge Imani the Misfit. He's the one that wrote the theme song for the Black Freethinkers theme. And MC Brooks wrote the theme song for RSS Feed, and we debuted that yesterday. And it's a great song, and I'm sure MC Brooks is going to get that up on iTunes and Bandcamp so people can download that and get that information, because I know Imani has it out there as well. So I just wanted to let you all know that we have some wonderfully talented musicians and artists out here in our community, and, you know, we just want to let them know how proud we are of them and how much we do appreciate all of their efforts. You know, we want to let people know how much we appreciate them now, you know, and support one another. And, you know, again, it goes back to something that I said a while ago. We're here to build and affirm one another, not to contribute to one another's dysfunction, you know, because it's counterproductive. We're trying to grow as individuals, you know, and we're also trying to grow collectively as, you know, as a culture, as a family, as a unit. And I just think it's important that we acknowledge that. So that good fun stuff. Yeah, this was an interesting show. You know, we talked about a little bit about the NWO, Illuminati, what a conspiracy theory is. Again, the driving force behind the majority of this, I honestly believe, it's the money. And I just think people need to, you know, look into it and find and see exactly, you know, what the emphasis is behind some of this for some of these people. Because, again, you know, we've already shown you how Alex Jones once wanted to be a part of the so-called Illuminati. And when that didn't work out, he created his own industry, and he was doing quite well. So, I mean, kudos to him for that, but, you know, no kudos for feeding into people's paranoia and people's, you know, delusion. You know, that's counterproductive, especially when some of these people, you know, really do not know any better. That's the reason why we're having some of the incidents of violence that we're seeing, you know, with different delusions that are being fed into. And it's counterproductive, you know, as a country, as a nation, as people in general, because there are people in other countries that are dealing with the same issues. We have to educate people and get the information out there. And, you know, it may take some time.
I just want to... Oh, I'm sorry, Kim. I'm sorry. I was going to say, I just wanted to, I don't know, maybe in this last, like, few minutes, like, ask you guys, like, what... Okay, like, being realistic here, what would be the real issue with having a one-world government? You know what I mean? Would it really have to be as bad as they say? You know what I mean? Or should we resist it just on its face? What do you think?
Well, what I would say is look at what's happening over in Greece. Look what's happening over in Europe, just in general. And we already have a global economy. So that's one of the reasons why, you know, with the American economy, you know, where we are now, why we're kind of walking on eggshells, because if it fails over there, it's going to have a domino effect over here. So we're already tied into one another.
Right. And see, I guess this is my issue with the whole idea that a one-world government must mean evil, is, like, if you think about it, all this nationalism, you know, everybody's so nationalistic and there's all of these conflicts, you know, over land and resources because you have to have them for your nation, you know what I mean? Like, you know, wouldn't it be a good idea to get rid of those distinctions? Like, I don't know. It's just something I think of in my mind. Like, why would it have to necessarily be the worst thing? Now, I understand, you know, how people can think, well, yeah, well, wouldn't it be corrupt? And it's like, yeah, but governments, I mean, you have to guard against corruption no matter what kind of government you have. You know? So, I'm saying, provided that we were vigilant, provided that, the you know, that you had human rights, and everything, I don't really see what would be so bad about it. That's just me.
And nobody's fighting to get over borders. I mean, people would still form tribes, and I got this area, you got that area, and they're still going to fight, just like how all this land is America, but they still have states and states' rights and what they do. Like, over here in Florida, if you, like, you can't talk about a woman in a way of, like, oh, hey, I had sex with her. That's actually illegal over here. It's like, so there's still going to be little tribes and stuff. But, yeah, like you said, a one-world government won't be that tough. And, you know, it'll still be the same goofiness. Just, you know, a lot more going to one guy's pocket.
Right. And Alfred?
I really don't have a, you know, I don't play into the whole fear-mongering thing in any sense of a term, but having a one-world government would solve some of the issues we have, electing who or what group of people would lead that.
No, I'm not saying that it would solve it. I just think that it's, in terms of nationalism, you know what I mean? And having these, like, you know, these fiercely national people and these governments, you know, that are about, you know, preserving their borders and, you know, our people are the best people, and our people first. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
what would be so bad about kind of getting rid of those designations?
Because
if we could, you know?
And I do understand what you're saying. I know a lot of people like that, you know, if they can't go America. And it'd be painful just the thought of not being amongst that special faction is better than everyone else is would be debilitating and would be self-degradation to even consider yourself, you know, part of being, not being North American, but being American is completely different. Completely different. So that would, you know, kind of hinder any effort toward a one world organization.
Yeah, I don't really see it happening either. I'm just saying I don't see how a one world government necessarily has to be evil. You know,
yeah,
what
well,
I mean?
Again, I think
that
comes back to religion.
It's not just villain.
Yeah,
I think a lot of that comes back to religion, where people are, you know, the Book of Revelations talks about, you know, one world order and whatever it says. The Book of Revelations talks about it, where they don't want the Antichrist to take over and things like that. So that's what they're scared of, the Antichrist
right.
being in charge and things like that. So that's when all these right-wing Christians talk about that. This is what they're afraid of, the Antichrist taking over.
Right. Exactly.
I think
exactly.
I would just tell them, well, their God's not doing that good of a job, you know, let the Antichrist take a crack at it.
No. Oh, you're trying to get us some hate mail this week. Oh, man. You know what, I might, you know what, you are not getting me killed. Okay.
But I want people to see the parallels in that, you know, the parallels in the religion and the conspiracy theory. I mean, if you do comparative analysis on a lot of this information here, you know, there are a lot of similarities. There are a lot of similarities. And
it's all bad thinking, bad thinking.
Exactly.
They don't know what to think, how to process information, uneducated, and glad to be so, glad to be so. Glad to be uneducated. I don't know about that. All I know is my Jesus. All I know is this conspiracy is true. It's terrible.
If I have the world, just give me Jesus.
Exactly.
And people have obliged them, and then now you want to complain because you don't have anything, you know. And, you know, it's interesting, but we have to do better. And I just see that things are taking a turn, and I just tell people, especially in the free thought community, we have to be patient. And this is more so for me than anyone else because I am one of the biggest proponents out here, you know, wanting change and wanting it to happen now. So, you know, I'm teaching myself to be a little bit more patient, you know, as far as seeing change. But we are seeing small changes. We are seeing people that are a little bit more open to what we have to say, and we're just building up. This community is in its infancy, and so we're getting there slowly but surely. And you know, it's nice to see, you know, that we're all kind of talking to one another. Now, we don't always agree with one another, and you know what, that's okay, that's fine. We don't have to always agree, but you know, it's about civility. It's about being productive. It's about, you know, getting out here in the community and doing the things that other people have been saying that they're doing, but they're not. Look at your communities, people. And, I mean, even with these conspiracy theories and all of that, in most cases, it's a distraction. And you're being distracted from what? You're being distracted from living your life. You're being distracted from thinking for yourself. You're being distracted from being an individual, from being, you know, original in your own way. I mean, you know, we have to grow. We have to grow. We have to evolve. And we have to rely on one another in different, you know, situations and different aspects. So, you know,
right.
it would be conducive to all of us to learn how to talk to one another, to learn how to appreciate one another, to learn how to, you know, again, work with one another. It's important that we learn how to do that and appreciate one another now. Don't appreciate one another at the funeral or, you know, you're hoping to see them in an afterlife so you can give them one big last hug. No, go hug them now. You know, buy them their flowers now. Take them out to dinner now. It's important that, you know, we learn how to appreciate the here and now and not let all this other stuff distract us from the things that are important, which, you know, friends, family, you know, work for some people. It just depends on, you know, what's important to you. But appreciate your here, appreciate your now, appreciate yourself. And that's a lot of things that a lot of people miss. Learn how to enjoy yourself. Learn how to love yourself. Can't learn or love and appreciate other people if you don't appreciate yourself. So on that note, we are going to end the show. I want to thank Raina, William, Nate, Lawrence, Alfred, everyone who called into the show, everyone who listened live, was in the chat room. And thank you, Mario. Can't forget Mario. Mario and Nakomi this week. That information will be posted. Show for next week, Origins of the Bible. Where did it start? Where did it come from? Hey, guys, have a lovely weekend. Thank you, and we appreciate you. Take care.
Bye.